Don't we love that? It's like you have your what is the word for it? They're protecting your privacy rights. Nobody can record you clandestinely. So well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everyone. And just as a quick temperature check, let's do this. This, I'm doing good. This, that's no, it's okay. This, okay. And just hold them there for a second so I can actually look around the thing. Okay. Da, 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 da. All right. Okay. All right. That's good. All right. So, how many of you have had a chance to watch the practicum from last Monday? Did any of you get a chance? Ramon, you did. Okay. Did you watch the 7 o'clock one?
Yeah, I think the 7 o'clock one was the only one you had on there.
Oh, she may have left the other one. The other one, we kind of did a little more of the inner child stuff. So she may have chosen to save that for when we actually go there. It was actually, I really encourage you to go back and watch it. It's, we really kind of broke down the, Louise asked a great question in the beginning. And so we kind of went through and really, went through that handout and clarified some things. And we'll touch on that this morning. But before we launch into this morning's class, what I wanted to let everybody know is that the practicums on Monday night are having a hard time staying at 45 minutes. Go figure, Karen, right? So what we'll do is we'll keep it at 45 as the main body of practice, but I'll open it up for questions and we can stay at the 4 o'clock session. We can only stay till a little before five, whatever time zone you're in, because I have another class at five. But if you're in the evening class, we can stay, you know, for an hour and 15 minutes if there's questions. It's just kind of a time for you to, what's become clear is that we need to have a time for you to bring your situation to the group, to the questions, for the real life questions, right? And so let's try that and see how that works. And then the other thing I wanted to just let everybody know is, our last class was scheduled for the morning of August 7th, which was going to be at the retreat. Several of you are attending the retreat, and we would have been doing it from the retreat center because they were going to have really great internet coming in and have the capacity. And when we were talking with them this week, the internet, that's not going as well as they thought. And I thought rather than wait till the last minute and go, oh no, no. Why don't we just schedule it to the 14th? So the last class will now be August 14th. And I think that just simplifies things. Okay. So, and at that point, we'll also have a chance to discuss ways to continue to support you on this, because I understand and you understand that we're not going to get over anxiety in these few weeks. However, you have the tools. I'm giving you all the tools here and what we can do to give you the ongoing support. Let's discuss what that might look like. And so be thinking about, as your week goes on, what would you have liked to have in place to support you as you're actually starting to implement and use these practices? Okay. And so we can talk about that on the 14th. So, before I launch into what my agenda is for the morning, does anybody have any questions or anything that we want to cover before I go, we get started? This is the longer than comfortable wait for it, because there's a question in here and you're going, no. And if I start talking, April, yeah, thank you.
So I had missed, you know, previous week's class because I had family out of town visiting. And so I listened to the recording. But, you know, I didn't go back in and look at any handouts. So you just mentioned a handout. So is that in the, what did I miss?
I'll pull it up here. We'll talk about it. It's a handout on regulating thoughts.
Yeah.
And different ways we have of doing it.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it's on the website. You can find it there, but I'll bring it up today. We'll go over it a bit. So, okay. So we're kind of halfway through the class. This is our halfway point. And so we're kind of filling in this first part of the seesaw. This is the fulcrum where we are right now. The first part of the class has been over here, giving us the tools, kind of laying out the tools, laying it out. So we're coming to we know what we need now. We know what we need. And then we're going to start to really practice it. How do I actually use this in my life? What are the principles? What are the tools and how do I use them? And that's where we're going after. And then we'll come back and hopefully you'll have everything you need to learn and practice and find a life that hasn't with no anxiety. Okay. So everybody's going, yeah, really, Karen. And I'm going, yeah, really. So here's, let's start here. Oh, I forgot to get my brain models. Okay. So first class, we kind of laid some groundwork. Last class, we went over the brain and how the fear response is triggered in the brain. It's triggered in the amygdala. And if you remember, actually, let me see if I can get over there and get it. Okay. So if you remember, there's two halves of the brain, two hemispheres, right? And deep inside in this little area here, it's called the limbic system. And deep inside here is this tiny little thing. It's called the amygdala. And that is the oldest part of our brain. They call it the reptilian brain. And, you know, I spent a lot of my life like, I don't care about that shit. I just want to not have anxiety. I just want to deal with it. But there's a lot of people that knowing this really helps them. And for those of you who you're the kind of mind that when you're in something is going on, you call on that. Okay. That's my amygdala. That's my fear response activating. This is very helpful. And it's helpful to remember you have two sides of your brain. Your right. This is my right, left, right and left. Right. And what I hope to cover today is to take what we talked about last time, which is regulating the biological system in the brain. This time I want to bring that into how that works with your energy body. The energy body. They're interconnected. And for me, understanding the energy body side of it was what helped me the most. But so what we've done is we've kind of laid the groundwork for the physical response in your body. Your body is, your amygdala has fired because of some kind of fear or threat. And what we know, anxiety is a fear response, right? That's the one thing that we're going to just keep reminding you all the way through. It's a fear response. And in the beginning, you don't need to know what the fear is even. You're going to learn how, we talked last week about regulating your brain, literally regulating, moving between, and we did this in the practicum, moving between the right brain and the left brain and back and forth, toggling back and forth so that we can find some equilibrium, come up here to the prefrontal cortex.
This is my meditation teacher.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard somebody. Let me mute you. Okay, I'm going to mute everybody. And then you all unmute when you have questions. So we're coming from deep inside the limbic system in here, and we're trying to bring our attention up here to the prefrontal cortex where we can find some balance and begin to regulate our physical response. Okay. So we'll come back to what we talked about briefly. We'll go through that handout. But before we go there, what I want to come back to is, remember in the beginning I said we're doing this from the biological perspective, from a mindfulness perspective, and from a meditation perspective. That's what we're putting together in this class, so that you're going to have the tools from all three systems. And so today what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about how this right-left brain is actually mirrored in your energy body, and how to look at what is transpiring in your energy body from a perspective that an emotion, a fear response, is a karmic event. Okay, so I'll explain that. We'll get into that. The phrase we use is, in the medical world, your amygdala was triggered. Boom. Fear response, fight, flight, freeze, or faint, right? In the meditation world, we would say your karma fired. Your karma was triggered. And the experience you're having is an opportunity for you to balance and heal your karma. Okay. So that brings up a lot of questions, but we'll get to those. So where I want to start is, let's go through that handout again and just see if there's any, where do I go here to share screen? And I think this is it. Can everybody see that? Let me just bring down the, okay. So just to review and clarify. So if you have any questions about this, let's make sure we cut, let's just interrupt and ask your question, because I want to make sure you grasp this before we move on to the next part, which is what's going on in the subtle body, the energy body, or what we might want to talk about with your karma firing. So when you are having an anxiety response, the first thing we want to do is be in the body and recognize that sensation you're feeling is a physical, and this is a new word I'm giving you, event that is happening in your body. Start to look at it as your body is having an event. My body is having an event. We're separating from the thought stream and we're recognizing that there is an event that is happening in our body. And I found that phrase incredibly useful. My body is having an event. So the first thing you want to do is take a nice deep breath and exhale, and you just literally activate the body's natural response to calm and soften and relax with that simple breath. Okay. And this might be a good time to mention this, and I think we tend to forget it, is that we are never given a problem or a challenge with also being given the solution. In the yogic tradition, there's this saying that the very same teeth that kill the rat are the very same teeth that carry the kitten. It's trying to get, should I say that again? The very same teeth that kill the rat are the very same teeth that carry the kitten. we have within us what already, what we need to solve and balance our challenges. They're already there. And to me, this is just a beautiful example of how the body is already wired for. So it's not like you have to invent something new. This path is about discovering what's already there that we didn't know about. Okay. So I hope that concept empowers you that this, you can do this. It's within you. This isn't something that's new. And I mean, the thought may be new, some of the concepts, right? But they're all in you already. You have what it takes to move through this and live without anxiety. Okay. So the second one is to literally just soften any places of tightness in the body. Just consciously soften any places of tightness in the body. This your mind does. You can feel my shoulders are tense. Consciously soften. You can feel my jaw is clenched. All right. Soften the fists, soften the jaw. Okay. But don't minimize the importance of these two techniques. This is where we start. And we start here because it works. One, it's a natural response. The second one is using your thoughts, the power of your thought, to start to regulate yourself. And then what we talked about was that there are only, now, because we're on this view, I can't see everybody, right? So I'm really pleased. Just unmute as I go through these if you have any questions. Because if you do, somebody else does also. But I'm going to just kind of go through them step by step. And let's make sure we're all with me. You may not be able to do all these things, but you understand it. The idea of becoming present, the importance of becoming present, which is when we begin to start working with our mind to move through the anxiety or the tangle of emotions that make up anxiety, is that there cannot be any anxiety if you are totally and completely present in the moment. They cannot coexist. So the more you cultivate the ability to just be present, to let go of any story about what's happening, any thoughts, any narratives, the more you will be able to live without anxiety. And I would tell you just a little story about this. The other morning, this is stories about the importance of getting out of the story. Getting out of the story and just seeing things as they are, just as data. I was up at Nat's and I was leaving to come back down here. It was early in the morning and I was going to take her to her daycare on the way. And I'd said, well, I'm leaving now. If you want to come, we got to go right now. She was just finishing her breakfast. I said, we got to go right now, honey. And she said, okay. Well, actually, I didn't hear her say okay. But so I got my computer and stuff and I'm at the door and there's Rowan ready to join me. And I said, oh, you're coming. Great. Okay. Let me go put this stuff in the car. Well, you put on your shoes. So she's putting on her shoes. I go to the car, put my stuff in, but I'm parked down the street. So I get in the car, turn on the motor and I start driving up to turn into the driveway to get her. I get out of the car. And there is a frantically, hysterically crying Rowan in Natalie's arms because she thought I had left without her. She saw me get in the car. She saw the car start to move. And the story in her head was Gigi's abandoning me. She's not going to take me. She's leaving me, which had absolutely no truth. In fact, I was doing the opposite. I was coming to make it easier on her. And when this happened, I was reflecting on it. It was like that fear response in her body was so, so visceral and so strong that there was nothing I could do or say to calm it. She had to literally let it work through. I think it was, somebody last in the practicum asked, how long does it take the cortisol to move through the body? And it can take anywhere from a few minutes or it can take longer. And I'm going to tell you, the longer you're holding on to the thought, the story, the longer it's going to take for that cortisol to move through. And you know how it is, that the sobbing, you know, and calming down. And it took until we got to daycare, which wasn't that far away, but, and one of the other teachers said, oh, your Gigi would never leave you, that Rowan, she was calming down. But it was, we do the same thing is my point. We see something and we create a story that may have absolutely no factual basis. It's an interpretation we have made. And the importance of becoming present is we go, oh, to go back to the story. Oh, look, Gigi just got in the car. Oh, look, Gigi's driving the car. Oh, look, Gigi's driving up the street. Oh, look, Gigi's driving into the driveway. That's the present, actually what happened. All the rest is in the mind. Oh, Gigi's going in the car. Oh, did she forget me? Is she not going to come back for me? Oh, Gigi's driving. Oh, no, she's going to drive away. She's never. Do you see the distinction I'm making here? This is the importance of being present. Is it trains us to stay out of any assumptions, any past associations with other things, and it trains us to show just for what is happening with clarity. So that is so important. I'm going to stop the share for a minute, and I want to just see. Did that make any sense, that story? Any questions or clarifications about it? Because, I mean, it captures it, doesn't it? Does everybody recognize that in themselves, that ability to make an assumption or create a story around something that maybe had nothing to do with the present moment? April, yeah.
So I've heard the phrase often that just because it's real doesn't mean it's true. Would that be, would this be an example of that? Like what we see and what our brain is, the event we're having is real.
Mm-hmm.
The thoughts we're having are real thoughts. It doesn't make them true.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's you gotta be careful with little phrases like that, because there's also, we can get into what is true, right? And the only things that are true are things we can actually all agree on. And the only one I can think of that's true, there's two truths that I know of in life. One is gravity. we're all attached to this earth while we're in this physical body. And the other one is that everything changes. Nothing's going to last. Well, I suppose the third truth would be you can trust people to be who they are. You can't trust anything else. The only thing you can trust is that people are going to be who they are. And as Maya Angelou so beautifully said, so believe them the first time they show you who they are, right? Okay, so thank you, April.
What's the phrase that if it's not true, There's a phrase around that, and you've said it before. If it's true, it won't change.
Yes. That's out of the Bhagavad Gita. It says, only what is real never changes. Only what is unreal changes, which is taking us into the meditation piece, which is basically reminding us that everything right here, if it's changing, this is not what's real. What's real is the part of your consciousness, your awareness, whatever you want to call it, your soul, your spirit, that continues on after this body dissolves. There is something in your awareness. There is something that most traditions believe carries on. And that is in it, what we call the eternal part of you. Oh, I'm going down a bunny trail, but I love this shit. I love this. It's like that part of you that you is still the same today as it was when you were little. You know how there's so much about you that's changed? So much has changed, right? But is there some piece of your awareness, some piece of you that's still you? It's still you. It's in there. That, according to my guru, that never changes. That is always there. Well, the way he put it was he went into samadhi and he was just transcendent, joined with everything. But they called him Mukunda. He said, but I was still Mukunda. I was still Mukunda. I didn't dissolve. That part of my awareness didn't go away. I was still aware. He didn't black out. So thank you for allowing me to talk about something that I find so beautiful and comforting. Is this part of us that we recognize every once in a while, you recognize it. It's in there. Whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. It is what it is. That doesn't change. And that continues on. And that's what's real. That's what's real. And so to digress, because now I'm down this road, because we're talking about emotion today, we're going to talk about, and the two main emotions I want to talk about today are fear and shame. Because those are the two main emotions that trap us into, they're part of this forgetfulness. In the meditation tradition, we call it ignorance or delusion or forgetfulness. It's like this whole existence we have here that we get so worked up about, and we start to believe so convincingly that this is what it's all about. That is, that ignorance, that delusion is what fear is where fear comes from, because we begin to believe that all of this is what is real, and we forget that we are connected on some very deep level to life itself. On a deep level that can never, ever, 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 ever be separated from. But we're here and we feel separate. And when we feel separate, we feel shame. We feel fear. It's kind of how we're wired. So I'm going to just kind of hand you this thought that what if perhaps all your anxiety stemmed from a fear of being separated, not belonging, not being connected to anything, being all alone, all by yourself, and abandoned? What if the root of all our anxiety came from that? And so one of the acronyms for fear, to go back to what April was saying, is F, false, E, evidence, A, appearing, R, real. False, evidence, appearing, real. Fear. In other words, all of this, when I believe this is it, I can lose this. That brings suffering. Fear of losing this, fear of, I don't know another way to say it. Fear in some way of losing my family, my friends, the things that I call home, the fear of losing these things, or the fear of being banished, which is what they say shame is, right? Shame at its basic level is that perception that there is something so fundamentally wrong with us that we do not deserve to be part of the human race. We do not deserve to have friends or be here. That if people knew the truth about us or about whatever the thing is, they would, not you. You're out of here. So let's kind of put that over here for now. We're going to go back to that later in the class. And let's, maybe as we go through the rest of this little worksheet, as we review it, let's go through it with a sense of regulating the event, the physical event in our body, the thoughts in our mind, so that we can stabilize enough to at some point, and this is not in the beginning, but at some point begin to look at what is it I'm afraid of? What is it I'm afraid of? Okay. So any questions on that without Bunny trailing me too much? See, April, look what you did. It's like, but that's what I really wanted to talk about today. So just took the slightest little nudge and off I went. But I do want to review the handout to make sure everybody's on board with that. Yeah, Agnieszka.
So I have a quick, I guess, a question about the situation with Rowan that you described. What if you actually had to leave and, right, for whatever reason, you received a phone call and you left? So the fact that you left her is true. Mm-hmm. So then for us, if things actually happen that let's say confirm certain fear or then the story that we don't want to create is why this is happening, right? Not to say, oh, this is happening because I am, right, unworthy of someone.
Yes.
Whatever that is.
That excellent, excellent point. And so I'm going to join you here. Okay. So couple things in what you said. First of all, let's be clear. I told Rowan I was coming back, right? I told her. So she was counting on that. And so there was a feeling of betrayal. And I don't know about you guys, but betrayal is one of the, oh my God, it just goes in there and, oh, right? I mean, but it's like, now as a child, we don't understand. We just feel the betrayal. We feel the abandonment. Okay. But as an adult, we have the perspective to recognize that, let's use Agnieszka's scenario. So as a child, let's say I had left and I had just driven away. Rowan was expecting me to come back and I didn't come. Oh my, the thought of it just breaks my heart. I kept saying, Gigi would never break her word. Gigi will always be there, right? Anyway, let's say that call came in and there was some horrid emergency with Bill and Bill's my husband, and I needed to get to the hospital just immediately, right? So I start driving away to go take care of Bill. Meanwhile, Rowan sees me drive away. Yeah. As a child, no comprehension of that. Utter abandonment, betrayal, and despair. And of course, all of that, because it's a fear of not being connected. It's like she was left all alone. That is a really basic fear for us, right? So as a child, event, I am now abandoned. And in our child mind, it's because of something we did. Our child mind, we don't understand bigger pictures, even if somebody logically explains it. Like I logically tried to say to Rowan, honey, I was just bringing the car to you. I was doing something really nice for you. The teacher at her school tried to say it. That has no power against the force of the emotion. Did you hear that? That emotional, that shot of cortisol into every cell of my DNA, the DNA in every cell is imprinted. Logic isn't going to get rid of it. So as a child, I am now an event. Oh my God, I'm just damaged Rowan for life. You know, she had an event that I was going to leave her. But this is the work. All of us have these. We all have them. We all have them. The key is now as an adult, once we've regulated, once we've done the little exercises on that handout and we've regulated both sides of the brain and we're back present in our body, we have the opportunity to make a choice. Okay, do I need to just keep regulating my body, stay out of thought, and be completely present in the moment? No story, no interpretation. Or am I stable enough to actually go explore what is the source of this? Where did this come from? At which point, if I'm ready to go into where did this come from, and we'll talk about the process for doing that next week, I go, oh, it was the time my Gigi drove away from me. And I just thought it was the end of my world. And then this little memory comes back of, oh yeah, but that's what, I don't even want to say this out loud, but this is what came to me. Oh, but that's when my grandpa had the heart attack and she had to rush off to the hospital. And now as an adult, I go back and I rewrite the story. And I go, oh, and I just, there's a process here, right? But it's, you correct the story and you nurture that part of you that was so scared. And the key thing here, the key piece here is it's not about your Gigi or your husband or your brother or your sister or your wife or your mentor. It's not about any of them coming and apologizing. It's not about them healing you and balancing you by changing their behavior. It's about you showing up for you. That hurt inside, that abandonment, that despair, what that wants is you. It wants you to pay attention and say, oh my gosh, that must have been awful. Of course you were so scared. Of course you thought you were being abandoned. Yes. Okay, but listen, I'm here now. I see it. I'm here. This is key. Hear me? Write it down. I'm never going to let this happen to you again. I'm never going to let this happen to you again. And what that means is that from now on, anytime any of this comes up, whether it's in your current life or past memories, you show up to nurture yourself and to be there for you. You show up to be there for you. Because you are who you are really seeking. Your wholeness. Okay, Nat, I see your hand going like this.
Yeah, because it's like, so first of all, saying I'm never going to let this happen to you again. And I know it's like, well, what if someone really did abandon you? What if you're like, yeah, Natalie, it's not that important. I'm not going to drive you. I have something better to do. And you left and you really did abandon me. And that really hurts my feelings and sucks. And I can't prevent that from ever happening again. How can I tell myself I'm never going to stop that from happening?
Great question. Important clarification. And it may take a while for this to sink in. So I will repeat it as often as needed. It's not that situations aren't going to happen. It's not that people aren't going to lie to you, betray you, leave you, abandon you, forget about you. Oh, big one, put themselves before you. Hello, big truth, bulletin board. Everybody is going to put themselves first. Bah! So right now, just let go of this thought that your husband, your kids, your parents, your siblings are going to care about you more than them. It is not going to happen. And this is the source of so much of our suffering, is somewhere in these romantic novels, these romantic stories, this romantic musicals, whatever it is, we got this idea that somebody is going to say, you are everything to me and I will change everything in my life, in my world for you. It's all about you. They might do it for 3 days so they can get in bed with you. But after that, it's about them. And it really was about them all along. They just wanted, you know, they wanted your body. What can I say? And it's as a harsh truth, but but when you get it, some of you are getting it, I see you laughing. It's like, oh, you know who that longing is for? You know who it is for? It's for you. You are longing for you to say to you, I am here. I'm going to show up for you. I will put you first. And it's not about you first. Oh, I'm going to bring you tea. This is internal. It's about you first. When you're hurting, I will be there to comfort you. Oh my God, that's a song. That's a song out there. What is it? It's at the edge of my brain. Oh, shoot. It's like Carole King's You Got a Friend. You know, it's like you got to be that for you. It wasn't that song. It was a different one. It was in my head. It was trying to come in. I cannot explain this enough. Ramon, yes.
It feels like you're still rationalizing in your head, though. So you're still working with the mind. Is there something that can be released, something that internalizes in the body that you can release so that this stuff kind of just goes away and the story kind of just goes away? You're no longer kind of rationalizing in your head all the time. Because I understand what you're saying. It's just that you're, and sometimes you get there, right? But then all of a sudden the story comes back and you have to go through that same process all over again. And you don't have time. You know, no one has time for that. So you might get it a couple of days later, but then you're back to square one again. So is it more of a body sensation you're trying to get rid of? I mean, what exactly will finally get rid of it?
I don't know if you can see on your screen, but Natalie is smiling because she's going, I've been asking her for this for 6 weeks, right? This is one of those concepts that once you get it, you got it. But it's exactly what you said. You're kind of going, I think I get it. What? Wait, no. It's this, right? So here's what I'm going to encourage you and assure you of this. Every time you notice that you're in the narrative, that you're in the story, that the thoughts are back, you go, oh, pattern. Oh, look, I'm back here again. This is like that autobiography in 5 chapters. The chapter for this week is, I see, let me see if I can find it. I can just actually read it to you because she just wrote it so beautifully. So if you remember, week one was I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I'm helpless. And it isn't my fault. Your fault. That was my interpretation there. It takes me forever to find a way out, right? And then week two was, where's week two? I don't have week two. Shit. Does anybody have the handout? Lisa, you got it? You want to read it?
I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place, but it isn't my fault. This still takes a long time to get out.
Thank you. Okay. So in other words, Ramon, this is, it takes time. It takes time. But every little bit, it seems like it's minuscule, but it's like every time you bring your mind back, even if you can only come back out of the story, and especially when it's an emotional loop, right? There's some resentment or other emotion with it. If you can break it for even a second, that's a victory. That's a victory, right? I mean, that's like bench pressing 800 pounds, right? It's like, holy fuck, I did it for half a second, but I did it. Right. So we just keep doing it. And I promise you, you just keep doing it. And the day is going to come where it's chapter 3. Lisa, you want to read chapter 3?
I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. And I get out immediately.
And that will happen. You're going to get to that point. You're going to realize oh, here I am again. But I'm not blaming Josh. I'm not blaming Lisa. I'm not blaming, I mean, I spent how much, 40 out of my 45 years with my husband, I think I spent a good 2/3 of them blaming him for everything that was wrong with me. And then as I started breaking that habit, there was still a lot of time spent blaming him, but less time, right? The thought would come back, this isn't about Bill Karen. Nope. You're the one who's frustrated. You're the one who's angry. This is about you. Until I could get to the point and the day comes and it will come. I promise you. I promise you. I promise you. And interestingly enough, it's tied to the level of your anxiety where you will realize that it's all your fear is your fear. Your shame is your shame. It has nothing to do with the other person. They are, and we're going to talk about this in a moment. Oh my God. This is where we're going to get back to karma. So we are going to go back to this other way of looking at it using the energy body. So Brenda.
Well, I love this poem. I've used this a lot over the years, but I just had a thought when you said in chapter 3 that it's my fault. That kind of like all of a sudden it struck me like, well, wait a minute. We don't want to also get into like shaming ourselves that we're the cause of all, you know, bad things. So I was thinking, a replacement thought in that line might be, it's mine to do. Like, it's my hole to get out of. Instead of using the word fault. Like,
no, and point exactly well taken. Because really, when we get into, there is no fault. Everybody's doing the best they can at every point. And I love how, as we do this, that you on your own, Brenda, could see, and not the word for the world we're living in here. This world we're living in, there is no fault. Everybody is doing the best they can. Everybody is being true to themselves. It may not be fun for you, but they are doing the best they can and they are being true to themselves. Okay? So on that note, I think we need to take a short break. Yeah? Let's take a short break. And when we come back, I'm going to look at this handout and see if I can get through it or I may have to let it go and really encourage you to watch the evening session for Monday so that we can get into how, what we're doing with our toggling and our brain regulating, how that relates to what is going on in the subtle body, in the energy body, in what we might call the more spiritual side of the equation. Okay. So what do you say? 5 minutes? Should we come back? Oh no, here I did it. It's 48. It's a 48. Let's come back. No, let's just come back at 55. Let's come back at 55 because we got some ground to cover still. All right. All right, everybody. All right. So let's come on back and I'm going to. I got a couple votes to let the handout go because the new stuff is more interesting. But I do want to say this about the handout. It will be that it's hold it as we go through the next few classes. Because the middle section is all about regulating how to regulate the thought stream, right? And why are we regulating the thoughts? So that we can become present. So there's the body and the whole the center section of the techniques for working with your mind, with your thought. These are what are going to help you to do what Ramon was talking about, just little by little, little by little. Bring your mind back and learn how to become present. Okay? That's the skill. So then at the very bottom of the page, there are a couple techniques for regulating the energy body. And we'll talk about those as we on Monday, how they correspond with what I'm going to teach you now. So I'm going to start it from a different direction, which is to say that in the world of meditation, everything that happens to us, and let's be clear, this is not mindfulness piece. This is meditation from the more mystical yogic tradition. everything that happens to us is karma. Karma is cause and effect. I pick up the pen, I let go, it drops. It's just, I pick up the pen, if I let it go, it drops. No, nothing. And my job is to look at this and go, oh, if I let go, the pen will drop. Plain and simple as that. If I let go, the pen will drop. Okay? So karma has only one purpose. You know, I wanted to just give myself a little out here. I say so often, those of you who've been studying with me for a while, I often say, has only one purpose. This is the main thing. It's the one thing. And so, you know, I just want to give myself a little wiggle room in case next week I say it has another purpose. But one of the main purposes of karma is to help us remember our connection to what is real and to rediscover and remember the part of us that is real, that part of us that is eternal, the part of us that, as my guru and his guru and his guru before him and the gurus before them, they could remember coming into life. They could remember leaving a body and remember what was happening after they left the body and then choosing to come back into another body. It's called continuity of consciousness. They were aware. And my guru's guru would say, isn't it just a tragedy that the most magnificent, wondrous thing of being born into this, we don't even remember. We don't even remember being born. And if you think about it, it's a most miraculous, miraculous thing. And so the yogis, the mystics, they do this work to achieve what we would call continuity of consciousness, the ability to be aware as they're leaving their body, aware when they're in whatever realm they are after, and then consciously choose where they're going next and aware of what's going on. Continuity of consciousness. And so karma, the purpose of karma is to help us move past this place where we are sucked into the reality show of our own lives and remember that we are part of something on a much deeper level and to remember that connection. Okay. So in that sense, karma is never ever a punishment. Karma is something that is actually helping us to unfold, helping us to evolve. Is that, are we kind of with me on this one so far? Nods? Nos? Nods? I'm seeing nods. Okay. So, I'm going to try and keep this really, really simple. So, for karma to activate, we call it our karma firing, our karma being triggered. It takes an interaction of some sort. And they say traditionally that karma is triggered by other people. Other people are the bringers of our karma. Other people are here to show us the imbalances we have internally. And karma can be brought by people, by nature, by animals. And I think it can also be brought by thought, right? But so these are the main ways that our karma is what we would call triggered or fires. So if you could start to look at the next time the next time you are driving and somebody cuts in front of you just as you're trying to change lanes to get to the exit, right? In fact, let's make it even simpler. Next time you're driving, traffic is moving fast. Your exit is up ahead and nobody's letting you in. Nobody's letting you in. Your exit is coming and nobody's letting you in. All of those people who are not letting you in are the bringers of your karma. Imagine them all going, how you doing there, Brenda? Can you keep your cool? Can you keep your cool while I'm not letting you in? Hey, Lisa, what are you doing here, hon? You know, oh, am I pissing you off? Oh, you got a little issue, huh, with not getting your way. Oh, maybe we should take a look at it. Those people are all, they're not doing it to you. They're doing it for you. I know this was a game changer for me. When I finally grasped what my guru said was that people are the bringers of your karma and it's not a bad thing. They are showing us what's really inside. Cause you know, we all got an idea of who we are and then we've got a reality of who we are, right? And they are showing us the reality. And the phrase he used, which I loved, they are showing us the imbalance in our soul. And it's the quality of our soul that matters. It is not the situation. It's the quality within us. The morning I was to be initiated as a disciple, this is back in 2004, by Kriyananda. None of that matters, Karen. Get to the point. The point is, I had traveled out to Chicago and all I had was a few things of travel clothes. And in those days, anything that was non-wrinkly and travel-y was black. So all I had was black clothes. His disciples all wear white and they wear shawls and all this, you know, and it was the next morning and we were literally getting up. I had to leave, get on a plane and come back. And so I had my travel clothes. That's what I was planning to wear. And then he says, oh, okay, the initiation is tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. And I was like, what am I going to wear? Oh my God, all I've got is black. Oh my God, he's not going to accept me as a disciple if I have to wear black to my initiation. So I saw him in the hallway. Now you got to remember, he's a little guy. Kriyananda was not like a 6-footer. He was, you know, just a couple inches taller than me. And I see him in the hallway and I go up to him. So like, you know, one hand, not even wanting to admit I was having these thoughts. But on the other hand, I was having some anxiety about this, right? So I went up to him and I said, Kriyananda, all I have is black to wear tomorrow. I don't have any, that's all I've got. And he looked at me with his clear blue twinkly eyes. He just looked at me and he goes, Karen, I don't care about what you're wearing. I care about the quality of your soul. I don't care about what you're wearing. I care about the quality of your soul. And I was like, you know, duh. But what he revealed to me in that moment was that he walked his talk. This is what he was teaching us. And I got sucked back into the, oh, I need to wear white and look like all the disciples. I need to have the right shawl. I need to, you know, I was sucked back into that delusion of what mattered. And just like that, he brought me back. None of this matters. It doesn't matter that they're not letting you in. What matters is what's in here when they don't. Can they not let you in and you be like Siri and just go, oh, take exit 42. Take exit 42. And you get to 42 and nobody's letting you off. Siri doesn't go, those motherfuckers, why didn't they let me? You know, Siri goes, take exit 43. Take exit 43. Right? No, you just take exit 43.
Recalculating.
Exactly. Exactly. It's about what's in here. It's about what. So what if you started to, I can't say enough. This changed the trajectory of my path. When I started seeing other people as bringers of karma, that I needed to learn how to balance. And some of you are in situations where you're dealing with people with lots of anger or lots of deep wounds, right? And your on the other side of that anger, your karma is learning how to balance, handle that energy. Can your equanimity, can your calm, can your compassion be stronger than the force of that anger? Some of you are like me, and we got a lot of anger. I was the angry one, right? I was the one full of rage and everything like that, you know? So as people come and I get enraged, that's an opportunity for me to see what, why am I so angry? What is the wound? What is the fear? What is the shame underneath that rage that I need to heal, that I need to make whole? And these are the ways of shifting the way we look at our world. Look at what's happening in our world so that it becomes a tool for our growth and our unfolding rather than a threat, rather than thoughts, questions? Chris.
I just want to say something that this is just, it's really touching me deeply and landing in a really nice way. And I just want to say thank you. Something just recently happened to me that was really disappointing. And I was like, what did I do to deserve this bad karma? What have I put out into? And now I'm realizing that it's not bad karma. It's now what do I do with move forward? And
yes,
I needed this today. So thank you.
Oh, I feel it, Chris. I do. And it's rich, isn't it? When it,
it is.
Yeah.
It is. It's yeah. Empowering. I'm.
Yes. And so the phrase becomes, it's unfolding. I am unfolding. I am unfolding. And the important piece here is that there's nothing wrong with us that we're unfolding. We came here to unfold. This is what's supposed to be happening. This is what's supposed to be happening. And I don't, you may find this hard to believe, but I don't know that I even believe everything I'm teaching you. Because the bottom line is, I don't know any of this for a fact. I certainly do not remember being born, and I certainly do not remember choosing this life. Well, I have a tiny little memory of a little, but you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not my gurus. I don't have that kind of experience to tell you, like Kriyananda could say to me, he could tell me, at a point when I was so terrified of going deep within because I was so afraid of what I was going to find. Because I was raised with a vengeful, vindictive God, and I was afraid that if I went deep, I would find. And I was terrified. And we actually called, we talked. And he told me, and I know he knew, he said, Karen, I have sat at the feet of God, and God is not vengeful. God is good. God is goodness. God is goodness. And when he said it to me, I know he'd experienced it. So I can't tell you what I can tell you what he told me, but I'm not going to tell you from my own experience that I've sat at the foot of God and had God, you know what I mean? But what I can tell you is when I live my life as if these things were true, it's changed my life for the better. And so I often think of it as, now this is a really old cartoon. I don't know if any of y'all ever saw it, but there was the Dumbo, the Disney Dumbo cartoon. And they gave Dumbo a feather to hold so that he could fly. And we all know it's a bird feather, but the feather isn't going to make him fly like a bird. But it did because he believed it. And I that's how I feel about these teachings. They are the feather. See, I'm going to choke up, Chris, because that's how deeply they have affected my life. This is what I hold on to. This is how I live my life. And it's working. It's working. So I keep doing it. But I'm sharing it with you, but I want you to, I don't want to sit here and say to you, I know this to be true. I want to say to you, these are the teachings. This is what I've heard. This is how I'm using them. And it's working. Use what works for you. Use what works for you. Take what you like, leave the rest. So thank you, Chris, for sharing that. Okay. So any other thoughts or questions about that before we talk about the way our energy body mirrors the physical body?
Karen, you talked once about, which I think is really important, that on occasion there's energy that you can't handle and how you handle and what you do in that situation.
You leave.
Yes. But it's not bad about you.
No, thank you, Gina. Oh my God. See, this is why I love having y'all in the class, because like there's so much material. I can't remember it all, right? And you guys are becoming as much my teachers now. I mean, the contributions you make, I love this. So let me give you total permission. Total permission. Total permission. If you're in a situation and it's too much for you to handle, you get to leave and you get to say, I don't know how to do this. It's just that simple. I don't know how to do this. So I'm going to go get stronger and I'll try this again. It's like if I walked into Ramon's gym, I said, Ramon, I want to bench press 250 pounds. He would go, yeah. And I go, no, no, I can do it. And I'd go, eh. It would be like, oh. And I'd leave and I'd get good with the fives and the tens, the 20s, the 50s, right? And I would work my way back up. It's just, I need to get stronger. There's nothing morally wrong with me. I'm not flawed. I'm just not strong enough. And so I think when we run into those situations, we get to say, oh, I'm not strong enough for that yet. I need to go get stronger and then I can come back. And to stay in a situation that you're not strong enough to handle is not kind to yourself. And we're learning to show up for ourselves, right? We're learning to be there for ourselves. So this isn't to say you necessarily have to physically remove yourself, right? So much as you get to say, whoa, wow, I just don't have the strength to deal with that right now. I'm going to have to let that go. I'm going to have to let that go until I can get more clarity. I used to say to Bill, it would drive him nuts, because when I was learning all this, I would just go, I just need to go process, because otherwise I was going to like, right? I this is about me. I know it. I just need to go process. And I would just literally leave, and I wouldn't talk to him. And we never talked about it. I would just literally not talk about it. I'd go in and I'd figure it out. It could take me weeks or months, but it wasn't his problem. It was my problem. Problem's not the right word. I could see Brenda go, Karen, problem? Really? That's not a good word. It was my energy to learn how to balance. Right? It was for me to figure out. And so my teacher, these little stories, maybe this will help you. I didn't make this concept up. I learned it. And I learned it by him telling me that, no, I actually heard it from the disciple this happened to. It was in Chicago, and she had been asking to become a disciple. And Kriyananda kept saying no. And there's a thing in the mystical traditions that if you ask three times, the person has to say yes. Well, she asked three times and he still said no. But he said this to her. He said, I am not ready. It's not that there was something wrong with her. It's what Gina said. He wasn't ready. Now, this is Kriyananda. This guy is it's just amazing. I want to say badass, but of course, if I said that, he'd laugh. He would totally laugh. You know, he was a real guy. But it wasn't that there was anything wrong with her. It was he wasn't ready and waited until the day she asked. It was many times. And finally, one day he was able to say, okay, yes. Because he had grown enough to be able to be of service to her. Now, if my guru can do that, we can do that too. We can say, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I need to get stronger. Gina, is that what you were talking about? Thank you so much for reminding me of that. Oh, do you like this stuff?
I just love this stuff. I just love this stuff. You know, it's like, it's just life changing. April. Yeah.
I just had a thought as you were talking. It was like a moment that, you know, when I bump up against situations that are triggering, that like, you know, like, that get me into patterns of fear or worry, or my brain said, just say, oh, that's too advanced for me.
Good. Yeah.
Like almost like I pictured myself walking into a room, like I'm learning a new language, and I walk into a room to take a language class, and I walk in and it's everyone speaking fluent French. I'm like, oh shit, I'm not there. I'm in the wrong room. And I go to the other classroom that's at a beginner level.
I love that. You know what? What if every one of you figured out that analogy for you? I mean, and I'm serious, you know, like on Monday's practicum, share with us, what is the one you're going to use to give you permission to say, oh yeah, I'm not strong enough. It's as if I'm still in beginning French and they're in advanced French. Or, you know, I'm at the gym. I'm not ready to bench press 250. I still need to just do 5. See if you can come up with that for you, because that's the value, right? Is to find this analogy, this metaphor that speaks to you, that comforts you. Yeah.
What if you live in Germany? And French is of no use to you.
Lisa, I love you. Okay. That is a good one. If you live in Germany and French is no use to you, then you have to learn German. Or we have to move to France. Right?
But they say, oh, you don't know French, so something's wrong with you.
Oh. Well, here's what we know, Lisa. This is what we're learning. And this is really hard to believe, but this is the truth of it. There is nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with you. That part of you that is that eternal awareness, that part of you that's in there, absolutely nothing wrong. Our minds have a lot of misperceptions. They have a lot of assumptions. They have a lot of perspectives that need to be corrected. That our body has emotions and memories that need to be balanced. That's why we're learning to say, I'm having an event in my body. I'm having a thought. I am experiencing something. I am not the experience. And so this is one of those shift points for all of us. And hopefully all of you have had this experience where you say to the person who says there's something wrong with you, you say, no, there's nothing wrong with me. And you leave. You find a new friend. And I don't mean that you sometimes we can't leave physically, but we leave mentally. We break that pattern. We stop that pattern. Does that make sense? Is that too opaque?
Thank you.
Okay. All right. I got a lot of stories coming into my head, I could tell, but I'm looking at the time and I'm going, oh, Karen, stay on track. So I'm going to finish the energy portion of this, which is biologically right brain, left brain, all the nerve channels, they're running along the spine. In meditation, we have nadis, N-A-D-I-S. These are tiny channels. You can think of them like all the nerve channels that run through your body, but they are channels that carry all of the subtle energy, the currents through your body. If you get acupuncture, that's what they're doing. They're tapping into these energy meridians, these nadis, okay? There are three main ones. There's the right side of our body, which we call the solar side. This is a technical term, Pingala, P-I-N-G-A-L-A. You don't need to you don't need to memorize these if you don't want to. But we look at it as the solar side. It's the logical, data driven part of our awareness. And we have the left side, which is Ida, which my guru always said the easy way to remember that is it's a woman's name, Ida. It's the Ida channel. And these run along the spine, depending on your tradition. In the Kriya Yoga tradition, they say it runs along the spine. And then in the very center is the spinal column, which is a tiny channel, which is where the subtle currents, if they run smooth and easy up this center channel, you are feeling calm and peaceful, equanimous, happy, equanimity. You feel compassion. You feel joy. You feel love. Center channel. We call it the Sushumna. Sushumna. Okay. Ida, Pingala, Sushumna. Now, some of you may have just noticed that when we're talking about the right side of the brain, the right side of the brain is where we go to become more imaginative, more creative. But I just said the solar channel, the right side is the solar channel, which is more data and logic. Right? And the left side is Ida. And the reason he gave us that is because it's the feminine side. It's more intuitive. It's more emotional. It's more responsive. Right side, boom, 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 boom. Daytime, see it, black and white. Boom, 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 here it is. Nighttime, dreamy, feminine, left side. How can this be? I'll tell you how it can be. Because as these meridians come down, they come through the nasal passage. They're connected up in the, with the pituitary. As they come down, they cross in the back. The channels cross. And so the channel that we say, we consider the left channel, the left, which is the intuitive, is actually connected to the right side of the brain. The channel that we say is the right side logical, channel is actually connected to the left side of the brain. Does that make sense? Is that clear? Okay. Now here's why this all matters. Everywhere as these currents move down, they cross. They kind of go around your spine, and as they come down, they're like a helix. You know those pictures of the helixes where they, I should have had a picture ready. Am I losing y'all, or are you with me? With me? Yes? Okay. So wherever they're coming down and they cross, it's like the right is coming down and it here at my throat, they cross. And then they're kind of spinning around my heart and they cross again. And they're coming around and they spin and my solar plexus, they cross again. Everywhere they cross is a chakra. A chakra. And the chakras are where your karma is stored. And so in the meditation world, we talk about this, that there is at each chakric point a lotus with petals. And inside the petals of the lotus are the seeds of our karma that were set in motion before we came in. We chose what is happening to us in this life. Why? To unfold in our awareness. To unfold in our awareness. And part of what we've chosen to do is to be here to help other people unfold also. So we have connected. We've come in with great love. And sometimes we play roles in people's lives that are challenging and difficult to help them evolve also. We're very interconnected. And I don't know why I'm saying this, but it's like lots of times when people are ill or dying, it's, and we don't understand why are they hanging on? Why are they going through this? It's because there is karma. The way I look at it is like, oh, when my mom was dying, this was an opportunity for the people she came in contact with. It was an opportunity for them to grow. She provided an opportunity for them to deal with her illness, her stroke, those things. I don't know if that made any sense. But at any rate, let's go back to your karma is held in the petals of these chakras. And we'll get into more of it in other classes. For this class, this is about what you need to just maybe try accepting it. Just try this on. And every time you're driving down that freeway, nobody lets you in and you go, poof, it's literally, and you can feel it. You have felt it in your solar plexus. You felt it in your heart. Some of you have felt it in your throat. That chakra starts to spin. And it starts to spin. And the moment when you go, those motherfuckers, that karma is fired. It's spin, spin, boom, fired. Which is your choice point. You can keep going and make it worse and start slamming on the wheel, whatever. Or you can go, whoa, little out of balance here. Whew, what's going on? Let me balance this piece of karma that just showed up. So what if, and we will do this on Monday and over the next weeks, what if we began to entangle this big blob of a word called anxiety and panic? What if we began to untangle it and break it into the pieces of emotion they really are? It's frustration. It's dread. It's nervous. It's scared. It's terror. But we start to really start to look at what it actually is. And we start to, as we do that, we go, oh, this is karma. I came to balance, to learn how to balance. And when it's firing, it's not anxiety. This is karma firing. It is an energy that you have chosen that you want to learn how to balance. You want to learn how to not be afraid. You want to learn how to have the wisdom to understand what is happening without judging it. I'm not saying you have to like it. I'm not saying it's always going to be easy. Life is hard. But what makes it harder is all of the emotional we bring to it. That's exhausting. I have to tell you, I've had so little sleep in the last week because we're working really hard on some judgment projects and stuff. But I am so energized and so alive because I'm not carrying any emotional unk with me. And it's blowing my mind how much energy is available when it's not all being sucked up into fear and emotion and shame and resentment and confusion and doubt and all these other things. So that let's leave it there for this week. And we'll talk about it more Monday and we'll talk about it, this is kind of where we're going to shift now. We've given you the biological. We've got the mindful, using the senses to become present. Those are the mindful things. Now we've added the meditation piece. And from here, we're going to try and bring these all together. Gina, is that for me? Oh, that's for somebody else. Okay. So I hope to see you Monday night and I can clarify. Oh, Gina, do you have a question? Gina, you're freezing. You're muted. You're unmuted. We're not hearing you, Gina. We're not hearing you. We'll do it on Monday. Let's do it on Monday. All right, everybody. Okay. So I hope I didn't leave you too confused. I hope it gives you some nuggets.
I know, I just have to go. So goodbye. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay. I will hopefully see you Monday, and I just send you with my blessings and my love. Okay, everybody? Bye bye.
Good weekend, Karen.
Thank you. Thank you, Ramon.